And this next week, thought I'd just go, and this is one of the summaries and some of the applications that we see in Romans there, and also for a late notice or notice of preaching, this is a good chapter to go to and just go verse by verse and have a discussion and for the applications that are here. So the latter part of this is probably the main reason, but we are in our scripture reading Romans this week. So we're gonna go through verses 1 through 8is my intention, is and just talk about some of these verses and some of the concepts that are here. And not that this is the only place that has some very tough sayings and things that we Christians that we need to be doing and things that we're responsible for. But it is one of those areas that if you ever want to just read and say, okay, what have I got to do and what's the mark I need to be hitting? And I think whenever you read some of these passages, you will see that. The word therefore is basically going back all the way from chapter 1 all the way forward. And basically Paul's having a discussion around what Christ has done for us and what Christ, the sacrifice that he made, and that, you know, no longer is the old law there, but it's that sacrifice that Christ has made for us. And if Christ has loved us and has done that for us, therefore, this is what you should be doing as a Christian, because this is what God did for you. And so I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And so whenever we think about sacrifices of the Old Testament, and that's where this is, we're supposed to present our bodies as that living sacrifice. And so a sacrifice in the Old Testament was fully committed, right? There is no question whether that sacrifice was for God, and because it was killed for God. And the whole point here, this is not, it's a spiritual killing of the man and presenting ourselves as that living sacrifice. And I think that's key, that it's a living sacrifice, that we have dedicated everything to God. And our whole day should be going through and, you know, am I serving God? Am I presenting myself? And we'll talk about that here in verse 2. I think verse 2 definitely gets into what this is presenting. And, you know, our spiritual service of worship. And so we come together on the first day of the week. We come here to worship each other as a congregation, as members of God's church. We come here together and we're here to worship. But this living sacrifice is about 7 days a week. This is about 365 days a year. It's about every day that we're living for God and that we're presenting ourselves to God and worshiping God. And that's our service. That's our spiritual service to the Lord. And I think, you know, if we just think about the Lord, that, okay, I got to go to church. I gotta go sing. That's our worship to God is so much more than that, and it's about every day, and it's about renewing our mind, and that brings us into verse two here. Notice a lot of times in Paul's writings, and also Peter and John, they tell you to put away something, and they say replace it with this, and so do not be conformed to this world. If you're not battling, if you're not waking up every day and saying, okay, what am I going to do to get myself out of this world? And I'm not talking about we go live in the back country and we never associate with anyone. It's not being conformed to the world. We can still live in the world but not be of this world. And as Christians, that's what we have to do. Are we changing our lives? Are we living for the Lord? Are we living for that spiritual eternity that we're seeking? Or are we being conformed to this world? How many things every day do we do that we do because that makes us happy? Or are we doing things that pleases God? And I think that's, you know, so don't be conformed, but be transformed through renewing of your mind. And this transformation, this word transformation, is a caterpillar going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's being transformed. Are we transforming ourselves? And I don't think this transforming is, in my experience, and maybe I'm a late bloomer, but I don't believe this transformation is an event. I think it's a lifelong endeavor. Because I think once we get to this point, then we realize, oh, there's another point that I need to be working on. And then you get to that and you realize, because to be Christ-like, to transform ourselves into living and being that sacrifice, we find that every day there's more to it. And I think if we're not trying to transform ourselves, we're never going to get there. Because I think, and it's really, think about the questions that you ask. Think about the ideas that you have. Does that tell you that you've been transformed? Because it's the questions that we ask. Do I have to do this? Is this required? And whenever I tell you, I've asked all these questions. I still ask these questions. Well, is that required of me to do that? Well, shouldn't I be saying I want to go do that for the Lord? And so if I'm looking for that minimum service to serve the Lord, have I been transformed? Am I being transformed? And that's an event, that is a process that we need to be looking at ourselves and questioning ourselves. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it. Jonathan preached a lesson a couple of weeks ago. I was not here. I listened to it. And we're going to get into this. I'm meant to kind of bring this up later, but since I don't have an outline that I'm following, I'll bring it up now. But as Christians, whenever we are all one together, we're working together, and we're being transformed, we should our service to the Lord, you know, the church should be prospering greatly if we're all being transformed. There wouldn't be a question of where the church would be. And so we need to be renewing our minds where there's no question, where people can see, wow, that church is out teaching the gospel. That church is growing. That church is, because everybody's busy. And I do want to compliment the church here, and I really got ahead of myself with some of these. Is this morning, whenever someone was sick, you know, it's nice whenever a text goes out and people are volunteering to do stuff and saying, okay, I'll take that on. And there was a number of people, and there was more than me, that volunteered to preach. And I actually told somebody, I said, no, you did it last time. It had to be done. I feel like I need to do it since I haven't done it in a while. But other people was volunteering and made sacrifices to do that. But renewing of our mind, and it shouldn't be what I have to do. It should be what I want to do for the Lord. And I want to be serving the Lord. And that will prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, verse 2 is very key. Are you transforming yourselves? And I'm glad to say that I can see people in this congregation that is transforming themselves. Now, I'm not going to tell you that every day I've made leaps and bounds. I can honestly tell you that in my life I've taken steps backwards. But am I working to transform myself and move myself to be more Christ-like? Am I in this process of growth and trying to get to heaven and working for the Lord, am I transforming? Am I renewing my mind? And am I serving the Lord? And is my sacrifice to the Lord, is it holy? So think about that in your mind. And going back to Jonathan's lesson, you know, I think he asked a question, where would the church be if it were dependent upon you? I think that was your question. And I thought that was a good question. But the way you get to answer that question is renewing and your mind. And we're going to talk about details of what each one of us can do. Not everybody needs to be preaching. Not everybody needs to be teaching class. And we need a lot. Fortunately for us, I think we have a lot of men that are doing things like that. I think we have a lot of women that are doing that. And we can do more. But it's that renewal of mind, that transformation. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So, you know, we just talked about transformation and not being conformed to the world. And now he goes into verse 3. And I think verse 3 relates to what subject he's getting into verses 4 through 8. And I think that's, why does he tell us not to think more of ourselves? And because at the end of the day, we all need God's mercy. We all need, every one of us is in need of God's mercy and love. And whenever we understand where we stand, and once we start judging ourselves righteously, whether that's a thought that we have or an action that we've taken, and we realize where we are, we're able to understand our brethren better. Because that's what we're going to talk about, verse 4 through 8. But we as Christians, and I think that's the transformation process, we should never think, I've got it, why can't these other people get it? And if we examine ourselves closely, we'll find where, you know, I see where brother or sister so-and-so is, and I remember this experience in my life, and you start thinking about, well, how can I encourage them? How can I help them get through that? What passages, what got me through that hard time? And so whenever we look at ourselves in the mirror and we're examining ourselves, it's going to help us how we deal with other people and how the church, the body, is going to grow. Because I think every one of us we have experiences. And we should also be thinking about, you know, as we look at each other, we should not be thinking about, I can't believe they did that. We should be thinking about, how do I help them? Now, I'm not telling you I can get up here and tell y'all how to do this. I'm not telling you I've got all this down. But we're supposed to have sound judgment. Now, that does tell us to have judgment. So we have to have judgment. But it's got to be sound judgment. And it can't be, you know, and I think in Romans, the second chapter, I was reading, you know, you're judging people, but you're doing the same thing. Well, that's not sound judgment. You know, if you're doing the same thing, and you're in sin and you're judging somebody else, that's not being there. So make sure we check ourselves. Make sure we're checking our attitudes and that we're looking, you know, because we see so many examples. Now Christ condemned people. You know, today we live in a world where people say, well, we need to be more Christ-like and loving and all that. I mean, I challenge you. I'll read through all the Gospels with you, and you'll find out He's condemning as many people as he's showing mercy to. And so he's there. But at the end of the day, we got to have sound judgment. Only way we're going to have sound judgment is looking to God's Word and understanding and becoming Christ-like and understanding what our Lord and Savior and what our Heavenly Father wants us to be. So verse 4 through 8 is going to be a kind of a segue here. Verses 1 through 3 is that individual, is about the individual. But verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function. So we're kind of looking at number one, each one of us, we have our part. We have our sacrifice. We're supposed to be being transformed. That's our responsibility. It's mine and your responsibility. But whenever I look at this passage and I say that you start looking at verse 4, now we're moving to the collective group we're talking about here. There are many members in one body, and all members have different functions. And if I go through this congregation, we have different people with different abilities. And I'm going to talk about physical abilities. If I need to talk about electricity, I'm going to go talk to Jared. I'm not going to go talk to Jonathan. I don't need to blow a horn if I need to talk electricity. If I'm going to build something, I'm going to go talk to Paul. I'm not going to talk to Jared because Jared's not a builder. But he knows about electricity. Paul knows how to build stuff. He knows how to get that done. Those are three different functions there, right? And so, but we all come together, but we all need to be being transformed because we all have our part to play. We understand that in the physical world, right? And that's the same way in the spiritual world. There's physical needs that the church needs. And so we all have those parts to play. Every one of us plays those parts. And we have, and so this is something I really want to compliment the congregation on. I think we're developing each other well. As a body. Whenever I think about how we're trying to grow. Because individuals are trying to be transformed. I see individuals in our congregations trying to be transformed. And what are we doing? We as a body, we're trying to open up opportunities for those people. Whenever we're trying to be transformed. But you have to be willing personally. And that doesn't mean... doesn't mean every time you come to church, you're going to get something great if we're trying to build the whole body up. Because our responsibility is to build the body of Christ. Because one day I'm not going to be here. You're not going to be here. And so who's going to take your part and your role? That's why we're out spreading the gospel, teaching, and carrying on God's word. Each one of us have a different function. And we're all supposed to be growing. We're all supposed to be transforming ourselves. So I think it's very important. We see Paul, he has this discussion in Corinthians. He has it in several other places about the body. We're all together, but we all have different aspects. If we're going to teach a class on leading singing, how many people in this congregation, I could get y'all to raise your hands, want me to teach it, or do you want Jonathan to teach it? Every one of you would say, no, Clay, we want Jonathan to teach that. I'm not offended. That's a skill. That's a talent he has, right? Every one of us has different talents. Are you giving your talents 100% to the Lord? And so each one of us has a function. Each one of us has something that we should be doing for the Lord. And I'm gonna say something. I don't want that in a singular format. But whenever I think about things that happen and everything that has to go on in a congregation, and I think about everybody has different functions, in my past, there's been people in the congregation, ladies and men, that have encouraged me that never got in the pulpit. Never got in the pulpit. Never have I seen them teach, but they taught the gospel in many different ways. Now, I think we all are responsible for teaching the gospel. I think we all have the responsibility to be teaching the gospel in whatever way we do. But whenever I think about we all have different functions in verse 4, we all have a place. Not everybody needs to be up here preaching. But are you the person that invites people? And we're going to get in, I reckon, let's read on down. Let's read verses 5 through 8. So we are, who are many, are of one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So we all make up this body. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion of his faith. In service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That is not an all-encompassing list. I think Paul is describing something there. That is just saying, hey, we're all different, we have different talents. You might, you know, I know this, I have this acquaintance many years ago. I reckon I'm getting old enough now, it's got to be 30 years ago probably. And I think I've told this story before, but a church down in Ocala, this lady gets pulled over, and she never had a Bible study with anybody, but she set up many Bible studies. She was the type of person that could ask anybody, do you want to learn about God? And she got pulled over by an officer. And by the time that was over, she had a Bible study set up with the officer. And the officer was converted months later. And there was a number of people in the congregation that had been not converted by her, nor by her teaching, but by her opportunity to invite and to arrange and to organize that. Whatever your talent might be, whatever your skill, are you doing that for the Lord? And that talent can be everything, as I used Paul a while ago. It could be building. It can be anything what your talent is if it's from a physical point of view. Not everybody's got to be up here, but think about if you're taking care of that. It could be picking someone up. It can be many different things that we do as a collective group to drive God's word. It's whatever your talent is. It can be everything from cooking to preaching and to doing Bible studies. Every one of us has skills and talents. And here we're told to be to do in those. You know, so if you go through verse 7, he talks about the prophecy. That's someone that's teaching. Serving. What is your service? And I think that can be anything from spiritual to physical. But if a church, if we're going to grow, and I think that's what Paul's telling the Romans here, each one's got to be doing their part. And we got to be, and if we're transforming ourselves as individuals, this stuff's going to come natural. So remember, we're supposed to be transforming ourselves up here. And if we're transforming, the individual is transforming, the church is growing. But it's individuals that do that. And we see different services here. So, he who gives with liberality. You know, I think whenever I read of that, I think about somebody that's very wealthy. Well, somebody that's poor, they can't give. But if somebody is wealthy, then are they giving their part? Where maybe this person over here is more in service. This person has it. So every one of us has a different attribute that we can bring. And it and the thing is I think we all understand this. I think we live in a society. None of us grow all of our own food. We live in a very segmented society. And if we couldn't, we depend on everybody else. So we understand this concept that Paul's teaching here, that it takes a group of people to make up a church, to make up the body of God. And each one of us have got to be doing our part. And we have to be, you know, I think verse 3, it gets back to, that's why it's so important that we as Christians, that we have a humble spirit. And I also want to encourage you, you know, whenever we think about the body and we think about we all have different functions. We all have to be growing. And so that doesn't mean you get to stay in your swim lane. You have to be growing. Now, and whenever I say that, you know, what are you going to do this next year to grow in the Lord? What is going to be part of your transformation as a Christian this next year? So we're a month away from whenever we make those New Year's resolutions. What are you going to do to be that person that in 2025, people at Walnut Street is going to say, that person's making a step change? Because all of us have different functions and everybody needs to do their part. And whenever we do that, the body grows. God is glorified. Not me, but God. And that's why, you know, I think he talks about in verse 3, because whenever we all work collectively and we're all working for Christ, that holy sacrifice that he talked about in verse 1, then the body grows. There's a lot of other things in this chapter, but the points I wanted to make is, number one, it's about individuals. It's about our sacrifice for the Lord. It's about our transformation. It's about us making sure we're not thinking too highly of ourselves and that we're looking at the collective group. That's how we're going to bring glory to God. Us all working together. We all have different skills and talents. So that's, and the reason we do that is because Christ died for us. That's what we're going to learn from chapter 1. Jet read this morning, you know, the first, just go back and read the first 10 verses of Romans and you just see what Christ did for us. We do all of this because Christ died for us. We don't do this because of our family. We don't do this for ourselves. We do this because Christ made that sacrifice for us. And so, work on your transformation. Continue to grow. And whenever you grow, the church grows. And the most beautiful thing is there's eternity at the end of this, as we rely on Christ. So if there's anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, if there's anyone here that needs prayers of the congregation, that's what we're here for. We're here for each other. We're all here serving Christ. Come forward as we stand and sing.